Thanks, guys. Oh, thank you. Come on, thanks. You can grab your chair. Go ahead, sit down. Make me nervous. I don't care. Thanks, God. It was surely a lot easier for me to come out here. Yeah. It's funny, we get emails like that. People say, I want to relocate and come to your church. And I'm thinking, bless their heart, I'm never there. I stop in through the week, grab some mail, and say hi to folks. But I'm not there on the weekends, that's for sure. Amen. Wow, you guys came out, did you? Yeah. Awesome. You're hungry around here, aren't you? We got a front row in front of the front row. This is awesome. That's awesome. You guys are troopers. Good deal. So good to see you. I know there's some folks I've seen before, and I said hi to a bunch. If I missed you, hi. And there was a handful of claps that never heard me preach before. Who is that? Let me see. There's a bunch of you. There's a lot of claps. That's awesome. Good, good, good. Okay. Listen, there was something on my heart right before I got up here. I'm just going to share it, and I'm just going to teach this weekend. We're going to, we'll pray and things tonight, I'm sure, for some things, but make sure you make truth a priority in your life. It's not ministry that makes you free. It's not getting prayed for. It's truth that makes you free. You can get prayed for about something and never understand a thing, you know? You can keep getting prayer, But in all you're getting, get understanding. You grow up hearing what you don't know won't hurt you. It's a lie. The Bible says what you don't know is destroying you. And in all you're getting, get understanding. We've heard a lot of half-truths growing up. We've heard a lot of things that are just cliche. We've heard a lot of things that are just flat out the way that seem right to a man. And the more you think about them and talk about them, they seem right, but they don't produce life. Man, if you're thinking on a track that bums you out, it can't be the Lord, guys. If you're believing something that's discouraging you, it can't be the Lord. Come on, some of this stuff is so simple. Like, if it wasn't simple, I wouldn't get it. So, pretty simple fella. Not real deep. I went to city schools. It was an easy curriculum. They just whisk you through there so you didn't get held back. And I just breezed through with A's and B's. And senior year, I really slacked. I got a few C's and D's. And it was easy curriculum. So, I've never been the brightest fella, but I'll tell you what, the gospel makes sense to my heart. And if it wasn't simple, I wouldn't get it. But this is what came on my heart, okay? And I'm just going to kick off and we'll go where we go. I was sitting here and I just felt like the Lord spoke this to my heart, that there's a sadness in this because we don't understand this. Sometimes we just live our lives and we just go for it and we live our lives. And then we get ourselves in a jam or things get tough or roadblocks or crashes. And then we turn to God. We go to God and we get this mentality through life that He's there to fix up things we broke or messes we made. And we kind of just live our life and then we turn to Him when it gets tight. And I don't know who I'm speaking to in this room, but I'm encouraging you, please don't live that way. That's a train wreck. Don't turn the Lord into a survival kit or a first aid kit. All right? Now, I know you might not expect me to come out. I'm not talking to everybody in the room. I can feel it in my heart and the emotion that's in me that I'm choking back and keeping way back. I don't want to play that card on you. I'm talking to some folks here. Don't just live your life till you can't go no more and then turn to God for help. Please don't do that to yourself. He wants to be a father to you, and He wants to put who He is inside of you so that who He is lives through you. And that's Christianity. Christianity isn't just believing Him when you need Him. We needed Him from the beginning. So please don't turn Him into survival. The gospel's not a survival kit. The Bible doesn't teach that the gospel's here to help us make it to the end. The gospel's here to teach us who we are from the beginning, so that we can live that truth through the end. You follow me? So the life of Jesus wants to become our lives. It's not just the life of Jesus to seal you for heaven. It's the life of Jesus inside of you. He's so precious. I think about this stuff. I sit and think about this stuff that God put on flesh. and paid the ultimate price of death in the flesh, rejection from men, lies, blasphemy. Everything he was accused of is what they did to him. I mean, he did nothing but good. Right? And somehow they tried to find evil with this good. It's amazing how it didn't change his good. Man, he's my hero. I promise you, I did not pray a prayer to go to heaven one day. I gave my life to him so that who he is could become my reality from the inside out. I look at his heart when I look at the gospel and I'm all alone and I look at who he is. He's God and he put on flesh. He came to die to redeem and restore my life and put truth back on me and identity back on me and God back inside of me. He is so serious about me living in him that he did what he did to make that possible. He must think a lot of us. And we've been trained to talk ourselves down to lift God up. No, he came down to lift who he is in us up. Not just to lift you up, but to lift who he is in us up. I think about it. Jesus is, he's God in the flesh. Made himself of no reputation, laid down his glory. We're seeking reputation, looking for glory. We just seem to get it backwards in the fall of man. We were kind of trained a certain way and it wasn't the truth. Every man for himself, looking for identity, looking for acceptance, looking for love, looking for value, looking for worth. It's not anywhere out in front of you. That's all surface. It's all superficial. It's all temporary. It's highs and lows. Your value's found through him. Yes. Nothing was made that wasn't made through him. It's through him that all things exist. He is the Lord. You find yourself through Jesus. You are made complete through Jesus. He will plant you so rock solid to know his love. His love, which passes knowledge, is to be filled with all the fullness of God. So this gospel is hardly a survival kit. If you were using in your life, he's not here so you don't use again. He's here to make you brand new. If you broke things up, he's not here to fix what you broke. He's here to make you brand new. Now, of course, he'll fix some broken things and he'll resolve some things and restore some relationships. I get that. That's not the goal. The goal is you becoming different than you've ever been before. It's not just being forgiven. It's not just being loved. It's being changed. I'm going to talk about it a little bit. We'll have fun with it, all right? I don't know why I feel so emotional inside. Taking my time. I'm real gentle with y'all tonight. Really being gentle. I don't think I could scare you guys anyway. I can tell. I think you're about ready for anything. But there's a handful of folks that I feel like the Lord's being sensitive to right now. And some of you totally get what I'm saying. But it's always good to be reminded. But I want you to take a good long look at Jesus. Start with him and finish with him. Camp with him. Think through. Follow Jesus. Learn what it means to follow him. Not just worship him. We did awesome. We did good. We did good. We really did. I felt like we did good. But let's learn what it means to follow him. This worship expression, we're growing to a place where it's just going to be all the time spontaneous expression of following him, of the reality of our life. We're not going to run to worship to get relieved, worship to feel good again, worship to get the weight off. Actually, worship was never intended to be those things. It's just the expression of what you see and who you've become. So there's some people that never heard me share before. I'll just make it real simple and clear. 21 years ago, I got saved, grew up in church till I was 20. Well, about 18, I started slacking, not going much. By the time I was 20, I quit going. That's my fault. That wasn't anybody else's fault. I made a decision. I was confused. I didn't understand. I was tired of going. It was my decision. Never heard the gospel like I preached the gospel. Like no preacher ever told me Jesus died to redeem truth in my life and restore the value of my created purpose, destiny, and God's image in my life. Nobody ever told me that the cross removed my sin to expose the worth of my life from the beginning. Now that seems to be out there a lot nowadays, and I'm glad for it. But back when I was going to church as a teenager, nobody ever told me that. I just heard he died on a cross because I'm a sinner. So I stayed conscious of sin, accepted sin, figured it's what I'm always going to be anyway. And for some strange reason, this guy Jesus did what he did. To forgive me and take me to heaven someday. Either he's pretty lonely and needs a friend. I mean, I just don't get it. Come on. There was so much mystery around the love of God growing up. Like, why in the bleep would he love me? And I've heard countless Christians say that stuff. Well, I sure hope he loves me. I mean, it says he loves me. I'm glad he does. I ain't sure why. I've heard that in the church. You know why? Because we base our ability to be loved, our lovability, if that's a word. Told you I wasn't very sharp. We weigh our lovability. We weigh our value based on the life we know. He bases your value on the life he created you for. He knows what potential is. He knows what purpose is. He knows what's possible. He knows what your life looks like when he's in you and you're surrendered. And he thinks it's worth paying for a lot. Worth paying a lot. Like the blood of his own son for you to become a son? Yeah. Well, that sure beats just getting ticked off at people and pushing through life and trying to make it. I'd rather become a son, start there first, get a good grip, get my eye changed, get my heart changed so I get a better look at me and a better look at you. Yeah? All of a sudden, I'm called by God to believe that he sent his son to come through the womb of a woman, not just appear in the wilderness age 30, buffed and ready for ministry, sharpened by the Holy Ghost in the cactus out there somewhere. No, 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 no. He put him inside a woman. And she gave birth to him. And raised him up and nursed him and changed his little whatever they were back then. They weren't Pampers. And they didn't have tape. It was different. I think about this stuff. I don't know what you think about, but I'm not in a hurry. I want to get it because I went till I was 20 to church and didn't get it. So now I'm going to get saved at age 33. God's going to knock on the door of my heart at work when I'm minding my own business and come and wake me up and save me at work. I won't go into the story now, but wow. 14 years later, he's going to come and save me at work. Well, I promise you, he wasn't saving me to come back to the thing I walked away from. Because if it couldn't hold me then, it ain't going to hold me much longer anyway. But this thing's got me so bad. I'm so done. Like, I'm 21 years in now, and I have to calm down to talk about it. I'm serious. Because see, I found myself in him. I found the reason why, the reason for being, the why behind my life's been answered 21 years ago. So I don't live in trauma and quandary and frustration and he said and she said and tit for tat. I don't live in that world anymore. I'm in the world not of that thing anymore. I know who I am. I know why I'm here. It might look presumptuous, overconfident, proud to some, but man, I know who I am. You get it? It's just really good. And I know exactly why I wake up every day. I don't wake up to survive. I don't wake up to be blessed. I don't wake up for you to like me, to love me, to do good to me. I don't wake up to not have trouble, for every little duck to line up in a row. Me, 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 me. Pray, 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 pray. I don't wake up for none of that. I wake up every day to walk in His image and to love just like He loved me. Every day, you're alive for who He is inside of you. It don't matter if people are treating you wrong. I'm telling you, people, if we get this in our heart, everything about you will change. You won't have to try to be okay. You won't have to try to stuff feelings and smile. The feelings wash away with the truth. I've heard this said many times when I preach. Well, Dan, I'm not a robot. I have emotions. God gave us emotions. I'm not a robot. I have feelings. God gave me feelings. God did not give you the emotions you grew up with. Adam gave those to you. And your emotions are hinged on the foundation of self-centered living, of you thinking for yourself. Oh, yeah. Come on. Nobody taught you to be jealous. It came with a package. You didn't have to go to school and study to be angry. It was just there. Nobody trained you to feel self-conscious. It came when man lost his identity and lost the image of God and got separated from who God was. Adam ate the tree and got separated from who God was. The image was lost. He lost his identity through sin. It estranged him and separated him from God the Father, the very source of love. So he got cut off from love and became in need of love. And it says every man since that day was born into Adam. And you must be born again. We've turned born again into a prayer that takes me to heaven. We've turned born again into a beneficiary thing instead of a transforming thing. We've made it all about us getting something from God instead of us becoming like Him. Oh, isn't the gospel good? I'm getting excited. Come on. If you start believing what we're talking about, it changes everything. All of a sudden, your permission to be mad, just to be judgmental and presumptuous, fades away. You don't try not to be angry anymore. It goes away in the truth. The truth makes you free. You're not trying to not be discouraged. See, here's this thing. We're so used to our own experiences, and most people teach out of their own experiences. So then we end up following each other and calling the same old thing truth. And we're following Jesus. And I see every man against him in the end. I see no one that was with him for him. And he's not discouraged. He's not saying, how can you do this to me? Who saw Jesus in their Bible drop the cross and flip out and get on an analytical whirlwind? Who saw Jesus? Poof. Dish, poof. That's it. I've had enough. You can only take so much. How much is a man supposed to endure? I mean, when is enough enough? Father, look at me. Look what they have done to me. What have I done to them? All I've done is heal their sick, raise their dead, feed their hungry, and give them a hope and a promise of life and a future. And this is what they do to me? God, if they didn't change by now, they're probably not going to change. And I'm not sure why we care so much. I'll tell you what, I'm not dying on the cross. And if they hit me with one more of them clubs. Come on, you better get real with me. That's our language. That's And you ain't never heard him talk like that. So he didn't teach you. Self-centeredness taught us. Thinking for yourself taught you. Somehow, through the fall, we got so prideful and arrogant and deceived without realizing it that we actually think we have rights and it's my life and I feel and what about? Well, you should. If God took that attitude for one day, he would never send his son. He didn't say, if any man come after me, let him first pray a prayer so he's assured that his name's written in a book called life. He said, if any man come after me, let him first deny himself. Why? You were never made for you. You were made for God's image and Christ in you, the hope of glory. What was lost when man ate the tree? The image. What are you called back to? The image. So you deny yourself. You weren't made for you. The rights come with you. Everything I feel. Well, I think. Well, this is what I... Yeah? You show me that attitude in the Lord Jesus in the flesh. It ain't there. Then don't let it be in you and say it's okay. I promise you, if you start understanding what I'm teaching, you won't have to try to change your emotions. They change in the change. Because no man will take credit. Nobody's a super Christian. You live by faith. Grace saves you. All of a sudden, all the glory goes to God. And people say, man, what is it about you? I remember you used to be. And all of a sudden, I don't even see. And all of a sudden, you just cry and say, I've been with him. I've surrendered some things. I alone with God just put off and put on. I put off some lies, some things I thought were normal. I put on truth and he's changing. There's no 1, 2, 3 on how to change. Here's the deal. You love not your own life unto death. You look at your life and say, wait a minute. I'm here for one reason, his image. If I'm not pursuing his image and I'm not pursuing becoming love, I'm missing the point of why I woke up this morning. Of course, life's tough then and I'm living without grace. Why would God empower me to run a road I'm not called to? Why would he put gas in your tank to take a ride you weren't ordained to take? That's why people think life is tough, because they're living outside of their creative value and purpose. And they're trying to get somebody to appreciate them, somebody to value them, somebody to make up for the rejection, somebody. No, no, no. Just change your reason for being through the gospel. Find the truth through Jesus. And it'll change everything. Is your name Steve? Steve. Stand up and show him your shirt, man. I met him. I remembered his name. It was Steve. Holy Spirit didn't give it to me. I just remembered it because I asked for that stuff. I met a lot of folks, but I remembered. See his shirt? You know what's awesome? It doesn't say a way. It says the way. You can sit down, man. The way. Now watch. That's not some strong arm, arrogant Christian phrase that you push on unbelievers. Well, he's the way. Well, you had come to God or you don't come at all. If you don't come through Jesus, you can't come to God. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to Father except through him. That's not an argumentative tool. We better really be careful with this stuff. We out there, well, he's the way. You better understand why he's the way. Because he came as a man, born of a woman. He didn't take a shortcut, guys. I'll give you a little lesson on the book of Hebrews. He's the captain of our salvation, the perfect sacrifice. He came in the flesh and fulfilled everything that man failed. He crushed the devil. God crushed the devil through a man, through flesh. He took back what was lost, fulfilled the law of righteousness, died, defeated death, rose from the dead. We put our faith in him and we're justified. It's amazing. No one could have done what Jesus did. He became a man. He walked out and fulfilled the law of righteousness. He didn't take a shortcut. He was tempted at all points. He was made obedient through the things he suffered and became the captain of our salvation. Yeah? Why? Because everything he did as a man. Now here's the point. He didn't just say, sing to me and pray when you're uptight. He said, follow me. That means he's the way. He modeled life for me. He shows me what life looks like in the Father. Therefore, taking away everything I thought life was before him. He gave me brand new life. You get it? So everything about the way I was needs challenged and will change. If you don't challenge it, it won't change. If you say, well, everybody has their moments, brother. No, that's why you have yours. Because you're still holding on to that lie and believing that. And you're giving yourself a right to be less than what you see in him. But yet he made you for his image. And he said, as the Father sent me, I send you. Why is that just miracles and power? Why are we just pursuing miracles and power? Why aren't we pursuing the heart and nature of God? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why is that just power? Well, there's no cancer in heaven, no cancer on earth, and we muster up the faith to pray. Come on, it's more than that. There's no animosity. There's no unforgiveness. There's no pride. There's no competitiveness in heaven. There's no unforgiveness. There's no... Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The way it is there, the way it is here. Wonder if that phrase has more to do with the heart of God than the power of God, because all the power of God flows through the heart of God. Is what we're really missing, and we're not doing it willful. We're not hypocrites. Come on, I am not talking to a room of hypocrites. Wonder if we just don't see some things, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Wonder if it's why we teach and do these things, so we could cheer each other on and stir each other in love and good works. Maybe that's why the Bible says we gather. Yeah? Man, the truth's in Jesus. Oh, I found myself in him. And I like what I found. I used to not like me at all. Like, I needed you to like me to think I was likable. So I'd go out of my way to get you to acknowledge me, like me, maybe giggle if I said something. And it feels so good. If you just like me a little. It made me feel valued. You want to fit in. You don't want to be out. You want to be in. Your whole life, come on, they laugh at you in third grade for something you're wearing. And you become one of two things right then. You're being sculpted and etched by life and people. And you don't even know what's going on. And you become introverted, or you become broken, or you become a fighter. You become insecure, you become low esteem, or you become hard and don't care. But somewhere along the line, something's trying to tell you who you are all along the way. And it ain't Jesus, and it ain't truth, because look what it produces. Insecurity, push and shove, low esteem, self-consciousness. None of those things are heaven. None of those things sound like deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. And we better be careful we don't turn this gospel into just bless me, do me right, fix me up, better job, provision, blessing. Be careful. The gospel's transformation. It goes inside of you and makes you brand new, because you wake up with a different why. You look in your eyes and see something you didn't see before. You see hope in a future. You see a new woman, a new man. You see Christ in you. Someone that's forgiven things that are forgotten. And now you're being empowered to express what's on the inside. And all of a sudden, nobody even has to say the right thing or do the right thing anymore, because the right thing's already been done. You've been accepted while you were unacceptable. You've been loved while you were unlovely. And God said, I knew who you were the whole time. That's why I sent my son. Yeah. That's what's wrong with me every day. Can't hardly calm down. I do my best. But I'm a little more excited than you see. I really am. I just have to communicate. Come on. It's so life-giving. It's so free. You don't have to wake up and worry for you, think for you, be so self-conscious and what everybody's doing, saying. All of a sudden, my whole identity, without even realizing it, is revolving around you and how you're doing me and treating me. Are you kidding me? No wonder people live up and down. They're only as good as they're being done. And then when they're not being done right, they have a reason for not being okay. And it's always somebody's fault. I'm sure the gospel's greater than that. Could you imagine Jesus sitting on the Mount of Olives? What's wrong, Master? They just don't believe in me. Oh, it's okay. Jesus, it's okay. We'll pray to the Father. We'll pray that their hearts change. I don't know. I mean, I want it to sound foolish so you never believe it again. Because you're made in His image. If I put that in Jesus' mouth and it sounds foolish, it's just as foolish in yours because you're made for His image. And as the Father sent Him, He sent you. And the things He does, you'll do. And you're predestined to be conformed to Him. Yeah? Why do you think Jesus said, learn of me? Because we learn from a lot of other things, folks. It's not that we're evil. It's not that we're willful all the time. It's not just about hypocrisy. Sometimes we've just been deceived. We haven't stopped and looked at this thing. We've just looked for blessings, catch a break, freer ride, smoother. I want change. I want something consistent in my life. I want to wake up every day and look in the mirror and see what He sees. I mean, what does He see to come and do what He did? That's where I've been camping. And then people invite me and give me a mic and let me just talk about it. It's amazing. Because here we are 21 years later, not 21 days, not 21 months. Probably plenty of time to get tested by life. Have people maybe not do the right thing. All of a sudden you're in ministry and now you're hard towards the very people you're called to. Because you have expectations on everybody. You have your own dreams. You're driven by your own zeal. Next thing you know, you're let down. It ain't working like you envisioned. Where am I missing it? Well, if they'd pull their weight, if they win the left, if they... It's all lies. The trouble is it makes sense to men. I hope you guys are all right. You all look, it's a deliverance meeting right now. I got about 20 different faces out there. There's things coming out. I see them coming out. I just went, the room just changed. People, you should have saw some of your faces. Just keep the doors open. They'll go. They don't belong with you. Do you understand the way that seems right to man has been our tutor from the time you have memory? How do you be transformed? The renewing of your mind. You're not conformed to the world. You don't love the world and the things in the world. It says if you love the world and the things in the world, He's not talking about cars and money and luxuries. He's talking about the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Just you needing to be somebody is so perverted. He laid down His glory and made Himself of no reputation. Guys, we have been driven seeking reputation. And I'm not talking rock star all the time. I'm just talking to be known, to be appreciated, to be valued, to be loved. And then psychology says, because we've studied humans, well, it's important for every human to have those qualities and da-da-da-da-da. Will you try to sell that to Jesus when they're all rejecting Him? He heals a whole city and they're trying to decide which spirit's possessing Him. Yeah. Come on. He goes to His own hometown and nobody comes for a healing service because they think He's loco. He's just Mary's boy. He's Mary and Joseph's boy. Who's he think he is? We watched him grow up. Blasphemer. And they all went to their homes. You don't see Jesus walking through Nazareth. Come on, get real with me. What's wrong, Jesus? Nobody loves me. I feel so rejected. Now we're praying off the spirit of rejection. Wonder if it's a lack of understanding. Wonder if it's not a spirit at all. We're always having altar calls to fix the brokenhearted. Wonder if we start teaching why you don't have to have one. What do you think he means when he heals the brokenhearted? He gives me a new understanding. My heart goes, zoop, yay. It's not vulnerable to be broken. You're not going to break it. It's not yours to break. He put it together 21 years ago. Yay. He made me free from me, made me free from you. Now I can finally love. Yay. So I didn't wake up to be failed today. I'm not looking over my shoulder, knocking on wood, treading thin ice. Just woke up to be who he is in me, and that's enough. Amen. And it doesn't expect one thing from you. So now I can finally love you instead of be reduced to needing you so that I'm a little better. For how long? Until somebody crosses you again, and then you have a reason for not being like Jesus because of them. And now you make them Lord while you're singing He is. You're letting them decide your life, telling Him He's your everything. Now that's deception. Can you guys take this? Are you all right? I mean, you acted happy I was here. I'm smiling the whole time I'm teaching. I'm not being mean. Come on, these lies have swallowed every one of us up at some level in this room. It's made some of us hate our lives, hate living, hate who God created us to be. Are you kidding? It's to look, hate who God created you to be. He wants to put His nature inside of you so you can look through His eyes and love. We've turned it into beauty, like Esquire and Vogue magazines. You women are carrying this weight that God never intended. The world did that thing. The world said what was beautiful and what's not. Even with guys. And then we're all under this pressure to be a certain thing. What a lie. It destroys people. It puts me. And the ones that, I've noticed this, the ones that actually are genetically blessed and have the possibility of fitting the bill are always under the pressure to stay there and never feel like they're quite there. What a rat race and a bondage and a lie. And what about the ones that don't have a genetic possibility? So right there, you got to know that somebody else made this thing up. Couldn't have been God. But then we so internalize it and so take it serious that it's cost some of us our lives, longevity, purpose, years, emotional anguish, despair, depression, cutting, all kinds of stuff because of these lies. The biggest lie on the planet is suicide. You know why? You're tricked into taking something that's not even yours. You're not taking, you're not saying, well, it's my life. No, it's His life in you. That's what you're taking. You're taking the possibility of His life in you. See, but we're so driven to think for ourselves, and you were never made for yourself. You were made for His image. That's why life is so tough, because we're pursuing ourselves. Come on. Listen to the call of God. If any man, that means man or woman. If any man, who? Anyone. That means everyone's invited. If any man come after me, and first thing on the list, deny himself. Man, the most sincere thing you can do, listen to a fellow screaming out like me with passion, is say, man, it's time to just get alone and say, wow, it was never intended just to live for me my life and try to incorporate you into it and get you to bless it and get you to prosper it and get you to... No. I was made for your image. I was made for your love. I was made for your glory. It was never just about my life. It was always about your life in me. You made us to be one. That's why you cut this covenant and want to move back in. Wow, I get it. Sin evicted you from your home a long time ago. So you dealt with the problem. Sin moved it out so you could move back in. It's not a positional theological statement. It's a reality of everyday life. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Wow, God, I don't want to live for myself. I don't want to live the dictates of living, the expressions of it, the emotional makeup of it. It's all a lie. None of this was who I was created to be. It's all Adam. Man, you didn't give me the emotions I've known my whole life. They came through the fall. You want to make all things new. Old things pass away, all things new. Wow, the way I think, the way I feel, the way I respond, it's all changing in you. And all of a sudden, you're in your bedroom. Nobody's around. Now you're on your knees. I give myself to you. Holy Spirit, keep working this truth in me. Let me see it always through your word. And if any other way I live different, bring it to my attention and keep fashioning my heart. God, you're changing my life. That's called prayer and communion with God. Yeah? I promise you, it's why we're alive and it's why we're Christians. And I'm just going to talk real plain and bold out of the gate on the first night. If we miss becoming love, and we miss pursuing his image and don't buy into this truth and surrender to it, we're going to miss the whole point of why God sent his son and Jesus shed his blood. If you just go and make it about your well-being, your blessing in heaven someday, we've missed the whole point. It's about heaven coming back into you and the kingdom of God on the earth. Yeah? Go preach saying the kingdom of God is... Wonder if that's with your life. Wonder if you're preaching. Wonder if he's not talking about a bullhorn walking downtown in San Diego. Kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is here. No, they'll probably lock you up or want to. You're not going to impress a bunch of folks doing that. But I'll tell you what, when you start living like Jesus and walking like he walked and loving like he loved, everywhere you go, you preach saying, the kingdom of God is here. You don't look here. You don't look there. The kingdom of God is here. It's in you. Yeah? Where's the kingdom of God?
In
you. So go preach saying, the kingdom of God is here. It's your attitudes, your disposition, the why behind your life, your motives, and everything that you produce or that he produces in you for men to see. What are you supposed to do? Let your light so
shine.
Yeah. Let your light so shine where? Before men. Why? So they see your life and go, wow, there's a God. Now we paraphrase that. It says, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify the Father. What's Isaiah 60 say? Arise, shine, church. Why? Your light's come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Now watch. Darkness will cover the earth. He lets us in on this thing. We're caught up with darkness. No, no, no. Get caught up with light. Darkness will cover the earth. Deep darkness, the people. But the light, it's on you. So arise, shine, church. Your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Light is greater than darkness. Listen to some scripture. Love covers a multitude of sin. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Tone down a harsh word with a kind word. Yeah?
Yeah.
Don't repay evil for evil, but overcome evil with...
Good.
Sounds like light is greater.
Right.
Sounds like Peter put away your sword. If you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. Let your light so shine. Well, I wouldn't feel this way if... Well, brother, you don't know what they're putting me through. Well, brother, you don't know what it's like at home. That's the stuff people do to themselves. Yeah, but. I'm not being insensitive. If I lived that way, you wouldn't see in me what you see. Don't think we don't all have the opportunity to look somewhere else and make something else a reason why we're not okay. It's called living by faith. It's keeping your eyes on truth long enough that truth overtakes your heart. Come on, Peter said, don't you think it's strange? Your brothers and sisters all over the earth are going through the same things you are.
Right.
People will sit in the church going through a hard time, and I understand, but I don't want to understand too long. Because they'll sit and they'll say, yeah, that's easy for you to say, Pastor. You just sound like a hotshot. You don't understand. You're not being sensitive. You don't know what I'm going through. Well, you don't know two rows down what somebody's going through or four people up in front of you. And all of a sudden, you're making your go through greater than the truth. That's why there's no freedom. Come on. I could lay out the whole trauma side of all the unfortunate things that happened since I was saved. And I could rip the list off, but you can't see any of it on me. Doesn't mean the list ain't there. Oh, yeah? So you say, try to be more sensitive, Dan. I'm being extremely sensitive. So that the truth can overtake every lie and we can become what we're created to be. Come on. The last thing I need to do is sell myself cheap when I'm not for sale. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. And you say, yeah, but if it wasn't for this, this, and this, I'd be in a better place. Well, this, this, and this isn't Lord. Why are you letting those three things govern your life and trying to bring Him through the eye of the needle of that? Why aren't you taking that through the eye and the needle of who He is in you and what you've become and see it different? You don't say, well, yeah, but they get on my nerves. You don't live with them. They'll never change. They're doing you. They get on my nerves. No, no, I'm talking about you getting new nerves. I'm not talking about them changing. I'm talking about you changing. See, I know this for a fact. Before I was saved and went to church when I was young, and I used to think, God, people are whacked, man. Did you ever think that way? Did you think people are just a little not there? You just think that, because you're prideful. You think you're better. And you grow up pointing out what you could change in people if you had the chance. And if I had 5 minutes alone, I'd straighten them out. And who can relate to thinking that way? It's just instinctive. It's called pride. It's called the fall of man. And I remember thinking, if God would just tweak you a little, life would be a whole lot better. Never thought He wanted to transform me and make me brand new. Never thought that you don't have to change at all for that to change. Whoa. We think, oh, well, if we just all work together. No, I don't need any of you to live what I'm talking about. I need all of you to fulfill what God's calling us to. I need to lock arms with you, be an army rising up. But to live what I'm talking about, I don't need any of you. Whoa, that's pretty powerful. You didn't bring enough. You don't got enough people to change me. The truth already reached me. So I didn't wake up for you to do me right today. You don't owe me a single thing. You don't even have to say anything nice. I am so fulfilled in this truth. I am so busy loving you. You can't stop that. You can't rob the peace out of my heart. You can't keep me from sleeping tonight. I mean, you can bang on the house I'm staying in, I guess, but you can't keep me from hearing His voice. You can't keep me from knowing who He is. So you won't keep who He is from flowing through me.
Wow.
That sure sounds a little stronger than, well, I wouldn't be this way if they weren't. Well, you don't know what they've been doing to me. I've said this for years. You can only emotionally abuse someone that doesn't know who they are. And the devil loves to do that stuff. Through people that don't know the value of one another. You think of the selfishness of that. You know, there's a real emotional abuse thing that's out there. But I'll tell you what, it's not waiting for them to change that'll save you. It's you beginning to see who you really are. You try to emotionally abuse me and what I'm preaching. You work on me every day, try to emotionally abuse me. Yeah, you will get emotionally abused. I know who I am now, and it's not arrogance. I understand why I'm alive and why he's in me. He's in me to love. He's in me to walk in his image. That doesn't make me a pushover and a doormat. That doesn't make me an enabler. Yes. It makes me like him. So that everything I pray is from the right place. Everything I say is from the right place. No little jaggers, no little spiteful, no little hooks, no little stabs and jabs. Yeah. No say the right thing rosy on the outside and mean the wrong thing on the inside. Man, it's fun living like him. You start to learn to love who you've become. You actually look in the mirror and like what you see. Wow. He's given me the best look at me I've ever had. And through that good look at me, I got the best look at you. Because if he sees me that way, he sees you that way. So I see you clearer than I've ever seen you before. Wow. What's so hard about forgive them, Father, they... See, now you can enter the way of the sinner. Well, I think they know what they're doing. I think they're doing it on purpose. I think they're just doing it just to frustrate me and to just get on my nerves. In fact, And all of a sudden you justify what's less than him. And you'll let them continue to dictate your life. You live in unforgiveness. You go ahead and try it if you want. But you'll find in the end that you were nothing more than a product of the very thing you weren't forgiving. So when they take a snapshot of you, whoever you're in unforgiveness towards might as well just sign at the bottom of your portrait. Because they've sculpted you and done a great job. You think you're cutting somebody off, you're winning. You're the living expression of what you're cutting off every day. You're the only reason you're that way is because of them. They're sculpting your life. Well, I haven't talked to them for 5 years. I'll just cut them out. Okay. And you're all right? I don't think so. Because when you talk about it, you're still there. You have the reason why. And you got it all laid out. And there's a feeling there. There's a thing there. Which means you're not who you would be if it wasn't for them. Are you guys all right?
Yeah.
Come on, man. This amazes me that we say this stuff. And I'm not being cynical and mean. I'm not demeaning anybody, making fun of anybody. But I hear this stuff in the church all the time. It's become almost cliche language. Like, well, it's all just, I'm trying to forgive. Just give me time. It takes time. I'm trying to forgive. And I'm like, why do we have such a grid for unforgiveness? Why? When's the day going to come when unforgiveness is strange and weird? Because we've been so overtaken by the forgiveness and mercy and love of God. I've learned this. The people who have a hard time forgiving haven't been overwhelmed by the true forgiveness of Jesus Christ. They haven't received the washing of the mercy and the blood and the love. And they might believe God forgives them, but they're still holding on to some former things, don't totally forgive themselves. They haven't been undone by God making them clean. But I'm telling you, if you ever taste the forgiveness of God and accept the blood of Jesus speaking better things and actually believe that God will never see you for where you've been and what you've done, but he'll see you for what you've become and continue to love you there, you will see people for that same thing. And you won't pray because you're hurt. You won't pray because you're in pain. You'll pray because you love. And you'll know that if they knew, they wouldn't be there. They wouldn't be acting that way. They wouldn't be saying that. And it'll break your heart for them instead of break your heart because of them. Yeah. And all of a sudden, your tears won't be tears of sorrow and frustration in the bedroom. They'll be tears of compassion and mercy. And you'll take their face right before God, and heaven will hear your prayer. You go pray for any other reason, no one's listening. I'm telling you, that's why people have prayed for years in that light or that darkness. You know how many spouses pray for their spouse because they're hurt by their spouse and they just need change in their spouse because they can't take it anymore? How's that working? if I'm reading my Bible right, and my wife heard right from the Lord years ago, you're actually keeping God from moving in your prayer because He'll be enabling your wrong attitude and motive. If God answers your prayer, He's allowing you to stay that way and think that's the way to get God to move. He loves you too much to answer your prayer for those reasons. If the only reason you're praying for your spouse because you think your spouse is a jerk or a whatever, and if God would touch your spouse, your day would go better, that's why He ain't moving. Because somehow you turned your Christianity into all about you and your little world and prayer and Jesus loving me and changing Him for me or her for me. You're wrong about that. Look, don't get mad at me. I'm being gentle. You're wrong about that. You pray because of mercy. You pray because of love. You pray because you understand if your spouse really, really knew Him, they wouldn't be that way. And in that, you'll find that He begins to meet your needs and He begins to fulfill you on the inside. And all of a sudden, there's no idolatry in your life. And nobody is the factor of who you are and what you are but Him. And He really is Lord. Yeah? You can yell but me if you want and stay the same. That's your choice. Or you can yay Jesus and let grace begin to change things. We're going, yay Jesus. My pastor was at the altar and the lady came up. My pastor's a good guy. She came up and she said, "Pastor, you're such a man of God. I need you to lock horns with me and pray for my husband. Because I know, Pastor, when you pray, God answers." And he's really telling Pastor he's a man of faith in God. And he's so good. He's standing there listening. I'm not making fun of this lady, but she was dramatic. And he told me the story and I laughed. Because she's ready to lock horns and pray because God is coming to change her husband. Now pray with me, Pastor. He said, "That man, he knows he's doing it. He does it on purpose. He has figured it out a long way. He knows how to push my buttons and get me going and get a rise. He does it on purpose. It makes me so mad. He just knows exactly how to do it. And when he does it, I can tell what he's doing. And it ticks me off all the more to think that he would want to do that to me. And, da, da, da. And we just need to pray that God would just keep him from pushing my buttons." And my pastor said, "Well, honey, I think I have a whole better line of prayer if you'll agree with me." "What is it, Pastor? Whatever. You're a man of God." Took his hand. She said, "How about if we pray you go buttonless?" See? See? When you're thinking for yourself, it shows through your words. If you think for a second that God changing your husband's going to make things right and make you better. No, just the need for that means some other area of your life's going to stumble you or snag you anyway. It means you have the capacity to live from that place, whether it's your husband, a coworker, a relative, whoever. Next thing you know, we were best friends. Well, we ain't talking no more. Come on. Very emphatic there, sister. We all received her confession there, didn't we? No. That was just what he said. True. Like, oh. No, just having fun. I'm just having fun. Are we making any sense tonight? Come on, man. Look, I'll tell you what. I'm going to be raw with this. I don't want to have the fun we had tonight and let it just be limited to, I want to have fun. Every day you wake up, walking through your life, living Jesus is fun. It's free. Loving people, forgiving, showing mercy, making peace, walking in the light as He's in the light. You know what 1 John 2 says? If any man says he abides in Him, he ought to walk even as He walked. And then we say, "Well, that was Jesus." Yeah? What are you trying to tell us? "Well, that was Jesus." Okay. So follow Him. You know, and sometimes we think we just see Him as a special man because He was Son of God, Son of Man. So we'll say stuff like, "Well, that was Jesus," and we miss the point. He was love. It's not that he was a special man. He was love. That's what made him so different. He was love, and none of us were born into love. We were born into ourselves. Now, you read your Bible. There's no love in selfishness. There's no selfishness in love. Come on. Love doesn't seek its own. That's why you can say, I love you, and be so ticked off later that day at the same person. Yes. Well, what you did, you reduced love to need. And what you're actually saying is, I need you. I need you to be a certain way for me to be okay. And when they're not a certain way, you show it. So I love you is really I need you. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's good, ain't it? That's good. Love you. What? Do you love me? Isn't that what we do? We get all wishy-washy, relational, Hollywood, starry-eyed, movie thing. I love you. Do you love me? Oh, I love you, baby. Ah, really? It's so weird. I'm trying to make it look weird. Because it ain't weird when we're doing it. It's all like, ah, ah, ah. You know how people do? They'll be like, ah. Oh, and then they're like, yee. And then, ah. Oh. And then they won't even talk for 2 days. And then they come back and go, I missed you so bad. I know. We can't never fight like this again. I know. You know I really love you. Yeah. See? It's all just emotionally driven. It's all shallow surface temporal stuff. And you're going to keep going like this, calling it normal. I'm going to challenge you strong in this room. The church believes the people closest to us can hurt us the most. And I'm puzzled by that because they're the ones we say we love. And love takes no account of the wrong done to it. And love doesn't seek its own. So why are you so busted up? Why aren't you crying for them? Why are you crying because of them? What's your name, honey? What is it?
Ashlyn.
That's awesome. That's really different. I like that. Ashlyn. So God's sitting up there. He's watching Ashlyn growing up. Ashlyn got some things in her heart. She knows to do right on some things. She got some other things tugging a little. She's in a little bit of a struggle. She's young. She's grown up. God's sitting there. He said, come on, Ashlyn. You can do it. You can do it. Just do it. All of a sudden, ah. He ain't going, did you see her, Jesus? I can't believe, after all you've done for her on that cross, and you saw her do them little study vacation Bible school, like, oh, yeah. And now she's old enough to know better, and now, could you picture Jesus slipping out and God watching her and going, ah, ooh, ah, ooh. It's just so weird. You know what he's doing the whole time he's looking at her young life? He's saying, oh, Ashlyn, you're so much more than sometimes you understand. Oh, that is so not you, girl. I've known you from the beginning. I've had my eye on you from before time. And oh, one day you'll see who you really are, and it'll change everything. And that thing that seems needful, you'll wonder why. That thing that seems, you'll go, what? Yeah? So here's the point. On her darkest day, love knew who she was. Why? Because love wasn't taking her personal. Love was loving her. Oh, that's solid preaching right there, buddy. Yeah? You'll take that. So on her darkest day, he ain't saying, one more time and we're done. If you didn't get it by now, you ain't going to get it. Now, I know I gave you the best chance to know better than you've ever had, and you still went and did that. Now I'm wondering if you even care. You've proven to me, Ashlyn, that I don't even think we can have a thing going on here because I can't trust you. I got to keep my eye on you 24-7, and I really don't want to keep my eye on you 24-7 because of some stuff I got to see. Then he calls a board meeting with the 24 elders. Guys, I need some encouragement and strength. This girl, Ashlyn, I mean, I've loved her, but it's like a yo-yo, man. I mean, it's good I don't slumber because I couldn't sleep at night because that girl would have me up. I mean, I have such a heart for her. And right about the time I think we got it about going on, it's like, I don't know now. Are we on? Are we off? So if God was talking like that, he'd be in the relationship with Ashlyn for who? For himself. But guess all he has for her is love. So that conversation we're laughing hysterically at, you'll never hear in God's mouth. So don't let it be in yours. He didn't teach you to feel, think, or talk that way. The fall of man did. All he ever does to Ashlyn is say, I love you through his son. And there's blood speaking better things. So that one day, through his goodness, he looks up and sees his first love. And all of a sudden, her heart says, love. How'd they do that? Did you hear that? Did you hear that heartbeat? That was awesome. Did you hear your heart? How'd that happen? That was just perfect. Woo. But do you see this? She looks up and sees his first love, and all of a sudden, she's changed. And all of a sudden, that season that sometimes we tried to change and that thing we knew we weren't supposed to do, all of a sudden, it's just gone. Where'd it go? It just died in the truth of realizing who we really are. And the way he really is towards us. And all of a sudden, you ain't trying to be a good girl. You're his girl. And it changes everything. Yeah? So see, I'm not afraid to preach this because I ain't preaching something that gives you a reason and a way to sin and get away with it.
Yeah, that's right.
It's something that changes you. It makes your life brand new. Are y'all in this thing?
Yeah.
Come on. Now, here's the fun thing about, well, you guys came and sat down, gave me a mic. So you let me preach this thing and you sat here and listened. So here's the thing. I'm not trapping you right now. I'm telling you raw and straight. The message I just preached, you personally and individually, apart from any human being or any other factor in anyone's life or your life, have to decide, what am I going to do with what this man's saying? Am I going to say, well, it's intriguing. Yeah, I'll think about it. Yeah, whatever. Or, yeah, it sounds like it'll get me free from me, get me free from everything that I've used as reasons not to be okay. And man, you know what? I bet my life and my identity and the truth about me is found solely in Jesus. And if somebody comes along to encourage me, hey, that's great. But I know I'm encouraged in him. If somebody comes and says I'm awesome, awesome. But I already know that I'm loved by him. The day I need you to thank me for anything is probably the day I'm in trouble. Because I'll be as good as you thank me or as bad as you don't. But if I do things because of love, you don't owe me anything. Do you know how many folks have left church because they didn't feel appreciated? Do you know how many people had served in a ministry to find identity, accolade, and appreciation? Wasn't getting what they felt they deserved, so they left hurt? When you do things for love, nobody owes you a thing. Come on. You don't go to church to be loved, to feel accepted. It's a big lie out there. Now, I realize some folks come in that way. That doesn't have to be you. You come to church to love. I've heard folks say, well, I went over to that church. It wasn't the most loving place. I don't think I'm going back there anymore. It ain't a loving church. It should have been. You were there. Amen. Serious. I'm not being smart. I'm being real. It's amazing how we justify our lives based on everything else. And what about him? What about trusting him? What about him becoming who we are? From the inside out. Yeah?
Yeah.
If not, you're going to let life speak louder than truth. You're going to let other things matter more that don't matter most. And you're going to have some reason less than Him for being less than Him. Do you see why He says the just shall live by? Because sometimes you got to press right through the rational feelings. Sometimes you got to press right through the justifications and the analytical traps and thinking. And sometimes you just got to say, wait a minute, none of this measures up to life, to Jesus. I got to rethink this. I think I'm being tricked. I think I'm buying into a lie. Come on. The just shall live by. And sometimes it don't feel all that. Woo. And sometimes them old feelings are right there telling you they should have known better. It's unfortunate they weren't more sensitive. They're a little more mature than you and they should have probably noticed. And next thing you know, it never ends. You just dime a dozen reasons for being less than Jesus. And yet you open the Bible and the gospel's the same. Don't sell cheap. I said it earlier, you're not for sale. You're bought with a price and you're not your own. That's not controlling, that's life-giving. You know that scripture? I think it was Micah. Pastor up here shared it about the unity, dwelling in unity. Didn't I hear that tonight? It was Pastor up here, right? Do you know where that comes from? Psalms what? Who knows? Awesome. Why don't you go there quick? I want you to see something that's amazing. Paul talks about having one mind, one spirit, one faith. Talks about unity a lot. He uses the phrase one mind, one spirit, one faith a couple different times in your Bible. Isn't that amazing? Do you know there's people in here that have worship burning in their heart, worship leading, training worship people? There's people that have homeless in their heart. There's people that are burning in missions in this room. There's people that just love children and they have a vision of ministry with children. There's people that just feel a compassion for orphans. There's all that in the body of Christ and way more, right? So if you have all that diversity of burnings and callings and all that stuff, how can we have unity? How can we have one heart, one mind, and one faith if your heart's burning for children and your heart's burning for the homeless? It doesn't make us different. Here's where we find unity in one heart and one mind. We as Christians understand that the reason God put His Son on the cross is to restore His image back in us so we can become love. So that when we lead worship, feed children, do the homeless, go to nursing homes or whatever it is, it's all from the same place for the same reason. Yes. That's what makes us one. So nobody's competing. Nobody's holding their ministry over another. All of a sudden we don't have a church on every street corner because we're competing and can't agree. All of a sudden, people that don't seem to agree with their leaders, all of a sudden they're starting their own thing. And there's a little twist there if we're not careful. You'd be amazed what can motivate you. I was praying to go to the mission field years ago. Praying. If you'd have heard me, you'd have thought it was amazing the way I was praying. And I said, God, I'll lay down my life for the hungry. I'll lay down my life for people in other nations. I don't care about the food, the water. You put it in the heart of my family and I'll go lay down my life for a nation, God. And I'm there kneeling at the bed and He said, so you're going to lay down your life for the hungry? And I started to cry because I knew. I said, yeah. And I knew I was being fathered and corrected. And He loves me. Correct me, Lord. I ask Him to father me all the time. Here's what He said. He said, Dan, my Son laid down His life for those who despised and rejected Him. You get that heart in you and we'll talk about this stuff. And I began to weep and cry and knew He was correcting me, but I didn't get it totally. And He said, Dan, the only reason you're praying to go to the mission field is because you're disappointed and frustrated in the people you're pastoring and you think they don't appreciate the gospel and that they're taking righteousness for granted. He was telling me that my disappointment towards them was birthing my desire there. Had nothing to do with calling. You see why you can't afford to live disappointed? Because it'll birth something in you. And then what you produce will look like its father, disappointment. Yeah? Here's what He said to me. He said, Dan, you'd have went to the mission field. I'll still move. I honor my word. I'd still move. He said, but every time I'd move, it would be at the cost of your own heart, because you'd look over your shoulder at what you disdain and you'd mumble and say, see, you couldn't do that there because there are this, this, and this. And every time I moved, it would have hardened you more here. And you'd have looked like you had a whole legacy before me of a life spent in the mission field, and the whole motivation was your disdain towards a group of people. And you'd have judged them the whole time I was moving. That's sobering. Do you know how many people have started things in the name of the Lord through disappointment, disagreement, frustration, pride, animosity? Well, they don't know. They're blocking the Holy Spirit. They're binding the Spirit. God wants to move in this town. We'll start a work. That's not the way to do it. Probably walking in love and living by the Spirit's a better way. Because you know what you'll attract? A group of people that feel just like you. I'm just saying. You don't want disappointment in your life. You don't want disappointment motivating your life. Romans 12 says, nobody owes you a thing, and I don't owe anybody anything but to love. That'll probably settle it right there. I was falling into disappointment. I was getting my eyes on people. I felt like they were being spoiled and selfish, and all they wanted was blessed. I started to let it touch my own heart, and I started to let what they didn't see blind what I thought I saw. And I got my eyes on them, and something got wrong with me. And He fathered me, and He rescued me, and He taught me. That's why I'm so passionate about it. I was praying with a bunch of pastors one time, and it wasn't what I expected. I thought it was going to be a spiritual, amazing experience, and it wasn't at all. And I remember crying over it, and I laid on my face and prayed to God and was crying, and I stood up, and I had my whole defense, and I'm ready, and I put on my intercession disposition and my spiritual voice, and I said, Father, I lift these pastors before Your throne. You know, and I was ready to tear it up, man. I mean, I was... And as soon as I did it, the Lord said, shh. Then I just shuddered. It was just me in the room. Now I'm crying even harder because I'm getting fathered. Yeah. And He said, Dan, the only reason you're going to pray for those men is because you've located what's wrong. He said, if I let you pray from that place, it won't be very long. Something's really wrong with you. He said, that has nothing to do with you. You do what I've called you to do. You got your eyes on something that's wrong. And if I let your eyes there, it won't be long till something's very wrong with you. You want that kind of fathering in your life. Are you just going to be another person saying all the right things from the wrong places and you have hardness down on the inside? And 20 years later, you'll feel robbed because somebody this or didn't this or that. Lies. It's all lies. The whole time Jesus was amazing and He was calling you to His love. And you're going to give somebody the power to bind your whole life? I hope you're hearing me. Not just because I'm talking loud. I hope you're hearing me. Did I turn you to Psalms 133? We probably ought to go there because it's pleasant. Behold how good and how pleasant it is. Well, it has to be for brethren to dwell together in unity. He's not talking about all believing exactly the same theologically. He's talking about everybody living from the same place. Every Christian having the same reason for being. Different callings, different anointings, different giftings, the same why. His image, His glory, become in love. If we miss become in love, we've missed the whole point of the cross. And we've done a pile of church and forgot to become her. I'm just telling you, you do all the conferences you want. You get all the happening speakers you want. But if we miss become in love, we've missed why He sent His Son. Because the whole goal of our instruction is love. The whole purpose of the commandment. 1 Timothy 1:5. says you can have all knowledge, not some, all knowledge, all mysteries. You can have faith to move every mountain. Read your Bible. All knowledge, all mysteries. Whoa. All mountains moved. Whoa. Closest thing to Jesus we've ever seen. We're all thronging for impartation from that dude. He's the keynote speaker at the world conference, if there is one. All faith to move all mountains, all knowledge. I'm not just talking about dialed in. I'm talking about all knowledge of all mysteries. The Bible is extreme on purpose. All knowledge, all faith, no love, nothing. Give all your gifts to the poor and give your body to be burned. Don't have love? You got nothing. Well, giving to the poor is a commandment from the Lord, but you can do it from the wrong place. You can do it for accolade. You can do it for esteem. You could do it to make yourself feel better about what you say you are. And it's all about you. And it'll never be on your account in that day. It's nothing. Come on. Love must be a big deal. Please don't let people hurt your heart. Please don't let things in your heart that aren't in Jesus' heart. Guard your heart. Out of your heart flows the issues of life. Don't let one person outside of Jesus take the place of Lord and without you realizing it, begin to fashion you and make you who you are. Come on. I pastored for 19 years, probably 20. I was getting 10 to 12 calls a day when I was under a year old in the Lord. I was preaching in churches at 9 months old in the Lord. Just happened that way. I didn't ask to. People just saw something in my life. I guess it was him. God did a few miracles right out of the gate. That gets people's attention. Next thing you know, I was invited to come here and pour on. People call me reverend and minister. I was 9 months saved. But I tell you what, he taught me how to not love my own life unto death. And he taught me how to love my wife and love my family and love people. And people couldn't get enough of it. They were like, what is so different about you? And then they used to say, well, it's a special gifting. You have a special, you're an enigma. And I'm thinking, I'm not supposed to be an enigma. I don't have a special gifting. He's just teaching me the gospel and why he sent his son. Yeah? And all of a sudden people got attracted to that. But I've pastored for a long time, meaning almost the duration of my born-again experience. I've been at a pastoral level. I've been at the full-time level for 19 of 21 years without asking to be. Never went to school, never asked to be a pastor, never dreamed of being a pastor. They asked me, I said, no, I thought it was strange. I said, I'm a warehouse worker in love with Jesus. No, you're a pastor. I'm like, no. In that season of time pastoring, countless, countless, countless people coming for counsel believing they have a reason for not being okay. Now, I know that's strong and challenging in this room, and I'm holding back a lot of tears. And all of a sudden, we're problem driven instead of answer conscious. And I've said for years, we are not people with 50 different problems. We are people with one amazing answer. And you'll find your identity, and you'll find your life in that answer, and it'll give you a different view of what you think is a problem. Guys, my wife was in identity crisis for years. She didn't even want to go to church. She started to say it'd be better if she'd be dead and I could go free because she's awake to me. I'm like, what? She believed people said hi to her because they loved me. And it trashed her identity. It wrecked her value. And I'd look my own wife right in the eyes and tell her who she was and how precious she was. She'd stare right back at me and say, well, Dan, that's the right answer. You're supposed to tell me that. Unmoved by the truth because she believed the lie. That went on for years. Some of us 4 weeks in are losing it, calling for prayer, can't take anymore. God, if you don't change them soon. Come on. She's hurting. She's believing a lie. She's my wife. I say I love her. I hope that doesn't mean I need her to fit a certain job description to meet my needs. I thought they're met in Jesus. Come on, I'm ending a little strong with y'all tonight. I hope you're all right. See, I lived through this. Bold is my speech. I wasn't calling Keith 3 weeks in saying, dude, you need to pray. I don't know how long I can take this. People were calling me for their marriages. I'd give them counsel. They'd say, well, yeah, you don't understand what I'm going through. That works great for you. It sounds great, but you're giving me a right answer, but you don't know what I'm going through. And the thing they were talking about wasn't even a fraction of what I was living in circumstance. I grew leaps and bounds. Why? Because I understood something. My wife was seeing wrong, believing wrong. She was hurting. She needs Jesus right now more than ever I've seen in my life that I knew her. She needed Jesus more than ever, and he happens to live in me. Now's not the time to be a frustrated husband that goes to church. Come on, I'm talking straight to you. You can flip the roles, wife, husband, wife. Make it fit on both ends because it's the same truth, guys. People need Jesus in us, not expectation. People need Jesus in us, not expectation. Expectation will find pressure and failure. And then you'll have a justification for not being like him. And you'll make the person Lord without even realizing what's happening. Years went by. Not weeks and months. In fact, it was about 8 years till she was totally pulled out of that thing. 8. And I grew leaps and bounds and got so established in everything I preach. It's why it comes out of me so passionately. At the same time, my son behind the scenes started testing out drugs, and my daughter made a decision that wrecked about 8 years of her life. And it looked like my family was blown up, and who are you to preach the gospel because everything's in shambles. It was just a couple little lies on every end. My kids springing off the weakness of mom so they could justify fulfilling some desire. Coming to dad. You're a little out of balance, dad. It ain't all like that. We've been looking around. Ain't nobody like you. That's what my kid said. It's a great testimony. It means I'm not a hypocrite. They're not using my hypocrisy as their firepower. So they have to tell me I'm extreme. And we've been looking around, even our pastor, even elders, and they're pointing out weakness in men and saying, dad, you're over the edge. Nobody like you. You're too much. And I said, maybe you have your eyes on the wrong one. Go take a good look at Jesus. Come back and tell me if daddy looks like anybody you know. Because the last I heard, I'm not following pastor and I'm not following elders. I'm following Jesus. Maybe you got your eyes on the wrong thing, and maybe you're looking for a reason to justify a little whirlwind in the flesh and using daddy as a reason. That's how I father. So I give them every reason to do right, and you'll find, like we've all found, men will do what men want to do. That's why the just live by faith. Come on, I don't know why I'm coming out. Are you guys all right? It's late. I already preached a long time, but it's feeling like zoop. Come on. See, you don't even want to mess with me with this thing because it just been. Come on. Okay. Does it look like I was touched wrong at a young age? Does it look like I didn't have a dad growing up who was alcoholic and said I'd be nothing? Does it look like my mom died young and was sick for 40 years of my life? Does it look like my wife lived that way and my child and my other child? Can you see any of that? Why? Because none of that has nothing to do with the truth. That's just people. Yeah. You're too late to tell me anything else. I've been through enough like you have. Why don't you let it be enough? Stop letting it decide you. Stop needing healing from yesterday. And you don't know what it was like when I was a kid. You're 50. Come on. Stop it. Come on, I'm not mad at you. It's lies. They're eating our lunch. Let's stop it. Don't tell me how bad it is. Jesus died and rose again and gave us His Holy Spirit. That has to mean something. Christ in me, the hope of glory, has to mean something. It's more than a song, isn't it? It's more than an amen on Sunday, but now we got to go face real life. Come on. My whole family is doing awesome today as I stand here and speak. You better learn how to live for that day and not get caught up in this day. You better get a bigger vision than now. You better learn to live by faith. Yeah? Or you're going to let something matter more. That doesn't matter most. And you're going to say, yeah, but... And always assure that tomorrow's yesterday. This good preaching, kiddo. I'm glad you're right in the front, huh? You girls got the best smiles. It's like you must just lay hands on each other. They just look the same. You definitely dominate a room, you girls. Okay, we got to quit. We got to close. It's late. No, it's a couple zealots. The rest of them are going, don't encourage him. It was actually in California, Northern California. They wouldn't let me leave. I was preaching on my last night. And they were like college kids or something at a pep rally. They were like, every time I try to stop, they go, preach, 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 preach. It was ridiculous. And I mean, young and old alike. I mean, the white-haired folks, preach, preach. And I'm like, are you guys for real? I like preached for hours upon hours. You say, brother, you did that tonight. No, it was way longer. I got to my hotel room at 1 o'clock. That was the night. Did you ever tell a story where the root beer came out of the soda machine? Now, don't get me a root beer. I told this story, and then I drank more root beer in a year than I drank in my whole life. I'd go to every house, and they'd say, surprise, you might have root beer. They'd say, surprise, and I'd go, oh, no, more root beer. See, because I don't drink much soda, so when I do, it's a treat. I'm not against drinking soda. I just don't drink that much, but when I do, it's a treat, and I like root beer late at night. It just... I was preaching all night, and they give you water, 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 and I'm going down the hall, and I hear, bzzz, I hear that machine, and the ice machine, and I say, and I was just first started traveling, and they got me this nice, sweet room, and I mean, it was a suite. I don't mean S-W-E-E-T, sweet. It was a sweet. And it had a king bed. And it bothered me when I was traveling because I asked to stay in homes. I don't ask for hotels. I'd like to stay with people and families. And I was bothered. I was like, man, I'd sleep on a couch and they got me this bed. I can't even find Jesus in the morning. I'm like, Jesus! Jesus! And he's like, oh, yeah, sorry. He was there all the time. Like, oh, the beds are big, man. You wake up. You just feel alone. Oh, Jesus. So I struggled sleeping in the king bed. It was just me. It was weird, you know. It was just me. I was just trying to get over stuff. And I was coming down the hall. It was 1 a.m. And I thought, oh, man, I could drink a root beer. Thank you, Jesus. And I went over, California. It was $2, 12-ounce can a lot of years ago. That's a lot. Back home, you know, you get it for way less. But I pulled out the $2 because... I mean, I understand. I'm not like, $2? You got to kid me. I ain't, yeah. I just slugged the $2. I looked. There's no root beer. I never thought to look. A lot of machines don't have it in. I just was thinking it was there, I guess. But it's two Dasani waters or some kind of waters. It's two Cokes, two Sprites. You know how they do that? And I went, man, Lord, that's funny. I put $2 in there for root beer and there ain't no root beer. I thought, well, Sprite or 7-Up, it was one of them lemon soda, lime sodas, whatever. And I said, that's a good second best. And I hit it. I picked it up. It was a Barge's root beer. Seriously. Now watch. I took it and I went. And it hit me. You know how. Because it hit you. There's no root beer in there. He dropped it right in the thing. I was like, you know what he told me? He said, you know why I did that? I said, because you love me. He said, because you don't know how to complain. Wow. You know, we just say, well, because he loves me. He loves me, but if I complain, he'd enable my complaining if he did that. He said, I can do that. There's a lot of things he wants to do. But his love's too strong to do it. His love's too mature and awesome. He will never do something that empowers you to stay the same. That's why you're why. That's why the pure in heart see God. Don't think he doesn't want to. He already proved it by putting his son on the cross while you're yet a sinner. You don't think he wants to do sweet things and give you kisses on the cheek through life? He already put his son on the cross while you're yet a sinner. Don't think he wants to, doesn't want to do good things. He said, I did that because you don't know how to complain. And it made me cry. I don't think my feet touched the floor. I just went into my room. I was just... and I got over the king bed. I thought, you know what? I'm sleeping with the king. I need a king bed tonight. Because I'm sleeping with the king. I got right in the center of the bed. I'll never forget it. I propped that pillow up behind me and I sat against the headboard. And I'm in the center, man. You can't feel nothing but bed. And I just sat. I'm not kidding you. I went. I'm not kidding you. I sipped that thing for a half hour. It was like 1:30 in the morning. Pastor's picking me up at 4. I don't set an alarm. I let Holy Ghost wake me up all the time. So I lay down in bed. Holy Spirit, I know you don't slumber. You're not my busboy. You're not my servant. But you're my best friend. And you're my helper. Thanks for nudging me just in time so I can meet Pastor. He said, love you. Got it. It's time to get up. So when you go to bed that way and you believe that stuff and he nudges you, guess who you wake up to? And it ain't, because that's not cool. That's a good way to wake up in the flesh. And then you hit that thing and 9 minutes later, you torture yourself one more time. I remember doing that. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. What unity? Let's translate this into New Testament revelation. He's talking about something. The whole Old Testament, the focal point of the Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole Old Testament is pointing to the new that's to come. So let's just interpret this psalm through a new covenant revelation. So the unity of the Spirit, one faith, one mind, is you and I pursuing His image and walking in love, doing everything from the wellspring of love. We've become the people of God. Why did the children of Israel get called the holy lump, the chosen people, the first fruits, the first lump? Why were they the children of God? Why? Because God handpicked them out of the earth to reveal who He was to the nations. God wanted to make Himself known to the nations through people. Okay, so this unity thing. Look, it is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard. The beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. This is the full horn of the anointing. This is the place of the anointing of power. So he's the priest. We're priests and kings under our God. He's a high priest between God and man forever. Come on, we're one in him. He's in us. All of a sudden, it's this place of anointing and power down over. It's talking about more than enough. The covering of the anointing, right? Now watch this. So he says like, the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountain of Zion. This is the scripture that everybody quotes, and he answers it right here. For there, for where? The place of unity. Everybody waking up to walk in love. Everybody waking up to pursue his image. That place right there, that place of unity, the Lord commands the blessing. What blessing? Life forevermore. It's right there. What's the blessing? Life. So where's life? In him, and he's love. See? It's so powerful. You get it? You guys living this way? You going to live this way? You going to pursue this? Or are you going to say, well, I feel, yeah, but, well, you know, you're not going to do that. Now watch this. Here's what excites me. Because I get to come and pour out like this. And if you start thinking the other way, these words will come. My face might even pop up. Jesus. And you'll just want to change so that don't happen anymore because it's so freaky. It's that guy. He's smiling again. No, I'm serious. It's the words alive. The kingdom of God is if a man scatters seed. If you don't sow, nothing's going to grow. So I rejoice. People say, were you ever in a stiff atmosphere? Were you ever in a place where you didn't feel received? I don't even think about it. I don't even try to perceive that stuff. I'm just excited. I got a bag of gospel seed and I'm sowing. That's just... That's all I'm doing up here. I'm just... That's all I do through life. Through airports, sitting, just my life. Pumping gas and... That's all you do, man. Kingdom of God. As if a man scatters seed. Because I've learned if you don't sow, nothing's going to grow. So we intercede for a community because it's right to intercede for a community. But you got to sow into community so what you're interceding can grow. Amen. We're just like waiting for God. And God's waiting for you. You're like, God, I wish you'd come. He'd say, I wish you'd go. God, we need a move of God. He's like, yeah, get up. God, we need a move of God. Get up. Yeah? I just promise you, never is the time to be discouraged, but now certainly isn't the time. Now's the time of salvation. Today's the day. Now's the time. Awake and arise, you who sleep, and he'll give you light. Redeem the time. The days are evil. Come on, how much more scripture do we need? Just walk in the light as he's in the light. Beloved, let us love one another. The greatest of these is what? Trying to have faith, trying to have faith. Some of us are just trying to build up our hope. But the greatest of these is love. I'm just telling you, if we miss love, we've missed the whole point of the cross. Yeah. Jesus was tacked on that tree. They put every lie on him. He became a lie. What he was on that cross was a lie. That wasn't him. That wasn't who he was. That's not what he deserved. He wasn't a sinner. He wasn't a blasphemer. He wasn't forsaken. He wasn't judgeable. It was all a lie. Why did he do that? Why did he become a lie? So we could become the truth again. Why'd he die? So we never will. Why was he separated from God? So we'll forever be joined. Why was he beat beyond description and made unrecognizable? So you could get your identity back and look like a son again. It's all there. It's the parallels of the cross. God didn't curse his son up there on a tree. He made his son to be what was cursing us. He cursed sin in the flesh. He made his son to be sin. He cursed on that cross what was killing us, sin. He didn't curse his son. He made his son to be sin and cursed sin in the flesh, and sin shall have no dominion over me. Yeah? Yay. Jesus was holy. He remained holy. According to the spirit of holiness, he was raised from the dead. Satan killed an innocent man. Come on. He shed innocent blood. He was just made to be sin. He gave himself over. Nobody took his life. He gave it. And when he was tacked on that tree, he died for every one of us. And when he died, we died. And in faith, in the new Christian, new created life, new creation value, when he rose, we rose with him. Newness of life. Not confession of faith, not prayer to go to heaven. Newness of life. Now the only way this will become your life is if you take what I'm crying out and preaching with passion, and you get alone and you spend time with him and you say yes to love. Don't fight with love. Please don't fight with love. The Lord showed me a long time ago, it makes me cry, but in a room this size, there's always a whole handful of folks that don't want to become love. They want to hold on to what they inherited through the fall, their human rights, their human reasoning, and the way that seems right to man, and justify something less than what they were created for. And they want to agree with the limited wisdom of the way that seems right. Please don't be one of those in this room. Please don't find a reason to have your heart hard or hurt or discouraged. Find a reason to be free and follow him. I'm just telling you, you have to be willing to become love. That's the first place that you start. You got to say yes to his image. I've heard preachers say that Christianity will cost you everything. And I'm not trying to correct them or belittle them. But it's not a clear statement. Christianity will only cost you what you never were created to be in the first place. The only thing he's asking you to give back is what you never were anyway. He's asking you to give back the lie of me, myself, and I. And that would sure take away, well, I feel. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. Could you picture that with Jesus? The first day he preached, they went, whoa, this guy's awesome. Where'd he get this authority? Whoa, nobody ever talked quite like this man before. Man, he's just reading scripture, but it's kind of like going into me. Whoa, did you ever hear anything like this? They're like, whoa. And then they go, hey, wait a minute. Is he talking about us? Yeah, kill him. That's the story. For a minute, they're impressed. They're grabbed. They're like, whoa, what school do you go to? Where are you going? And they're like, wait a minute. Is he talking about us? Yeah, kill him. They're going to push him off a cliff first day he preached. Why? Because he was talking about them. Yeah, we ain't gonna have no preacher in our church talking about us. We'll push them off the cliff. You know what he said to the Pharisees at the end? He talked about them and about how they were being, and he said, upon you will come all the righteous blood that was ever shed, from the righteous blood of Abel to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, who you killed between the porch and the temple. And I'm like, wait a minute, Jesus, that's pretty harsh. That was 700 years before. They weren't born. It's a mentality. It's a spirit. He said, upon you. He's talking to the Pharisees. Their attitude, their mind. He said, upon you will come all the righteous blood, from Abel to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you killed between the porch. So I grabbed it and I studied out. I looked up. You know what happened? They were in the temple because people knew how to go to church. But Zechariah was calling them to the altar. Because the altar is a place to repent and become new. And they had none of it. They didn't have no trouble being in the temple. But don't you try to get me to the altar. And when he called them to the altar, they killed him between the porch and the temple. That could just mean resisting the message, shutting him down. The Bible says if you hate, you murdered. Why? Because you're giving yourself to an emotion at the expense of another's destiny. When you hate somebody, you murder them because you can't see past what you hate, so you can't see what they're called to be. So you murder them. Not that you can keep them from being that, but you can't see that. So you murdered them. That's why hate is equal to murder in the New Testament. because it blinds you from their potential, because all you can see is what's wrong with them. And if God saw you that way, you wouldn't be sitting here with His Spirit inside of you. Well, so I guess it's not enough to be forgiven. We ought to become forgiveness. It's not enough to be loved. I guess we ought to become love. It's not enough to obtain mercy. We ought to become merciful. Close your eyes with me. I want to pray, please. Father, I just thank You right now for Your goodness and Your grace, and I thank You for the word of the Lord. I thank You, God, for a room of people listening, really listening and hearing. And I pray for grace, God, in our lives that would make these things become so our reality. I ask that You would unveil every one of us and draw us into Your presence, into personal communion and prayer. I'm asking that You would release a grace that stir us into Your presence to seek You, to turn off anything around us and even our minds long enough to just go be alone with You and find You there. God, I'm asking You draw us into that place where we're changed. That place where from the heart we say, yes, I'm ready. Yes, I want to become love. Yes, I want to give my life to what You created me for. So Father, I thank You. It's not a heady or hard or difficult thing. I thank You. It's a simple place of saved by grace through faith. And Father, if in any other way something would rise up in us and we'd begin to think, feel, or imagine, I'm asking that You would confront that and convict that and bring us back to this place of truth. Father, I am not talking to a room of hypocrites, people that love You and honor You as best they understand You. And I pray You make full use of this night and full use of these words in every one of our lives. Now, I've been feeling this in my heart lately, and I'm feeling it now, so I'm just going to do it. Listen, nobody's raising hands, looking around. Nobody's exposing nothing. But if you're sitting with your spouse right now, and things haven't been like they could, and you realize that you haven't been pursuing this message as much as you've been sorting out what's wrong with the other, and you realize you haven't been like Christ, and you haven't been walking in love and mercy, and you've been feeding a problem that maybe you've been recognizing, but you actually realize I threw some logs on that thing. But you want peace after tonight, and you want to become that person. Whether you're the man, whether you're the woman, you're sitting with your spouse. I'm telling you, I wouldn't hear this stuff and say this if it didn't fit the room. I just have that much confidence in what I hear. But you reach your hand over, and you be the initiator, and you tap their wrist, their finger, and you just squeeze their hand, please. And spouse, don't you pull your hand away, please. I'm serious. That's not a joke. See, because sometimes when you hear a fellow preaching like this, you hear for the other person. And if you're doing that, that's a sure sign I was talking to you. You don't elbow the other person. You listen for you to become like Christ in you. You're not listening to the sermon for the person next to you. You're not sitting there saying, boy, I hope they're listening. Because then that problem's going to stay alive and you have them living for you. So you squeeze their hand. And if you'll grab their hand right now, as if to say without words, honey, I want you to know I'm listening to this man. And I'm really hearing what he's saying, and I'm hearing for me. And I know I haven't been living this way. Please forgive me. But I'm saying yes to this truth. And give me the privilege of beginning to love you in this truth. Please forgive me and give me that honor. That's what you're saying if you grab their hand right now. If you didn't take their hand yet, I would ask that you do it if you know things ain't the way they could be and you need some resolve in your home. And spouse, if you'll squeeze their hand back, you're saying the same thing back to them. And that's releasing them as well as asking them to forgive you. And I'm telling you, you'd be amazed how grace works. And without any words exchanged, just that simple sign and gesture of humility, you take their hand, you watch how the Spirit of God come upon your marriage and come upon your home. Come on, take their hand, squeeze them back. Father, I ask for a blessing in every home and every marriage that's responding right now. And I ask, Lord God, that You would bring healing to our homes, into our lives, and get our eyes off of each other and fix our eyes on You, so that when we look back at each other, we see a brand new thing. Lord God, teach us love and let us walk in the power of it. Let our homes find the peace of the gospel. I bless every marriage and every home here in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Yeah. Let's do some. It's getting late. What's late for you guys? Is this late? You got to realize I'm from the East Coast, so you got to add 3 hours to me right now. You see how tired I am, don't you? Yeah. So it's 12:45 to me. It's 12:45 my time. You're 3 hours behind me. I ought to try to make you catch up. You can see I'm played out, can't you? Do you know how I go to bed? By faith. You live by faith. You lay in your bed tonight and you're like, Father, I just say. There's a couple things real quick. If we can do them real quick, they won't be rhetorical or churchy. I promise. I don't think I have that stuff in me. But there's a bunch of people. Is there anybody I'm going to see anymore yet this week that's in the room? Is there anybody or did I run you all off? Am I going to see a bunch of you again? Because I want some testimonies from what we're going to pray, because it's for the first thing we do. We won't really know until tomorrow and the next day, and we'll get some testimonies from you, okay? But I want you to participate. I feel it in my heart. I haven't done it for about a month or two, and before that I hadn't done it for 9 months or a year, and I used to do it everywhere I traveled. For some reason, it didn't come in my heart no more, so I didn't do it because it didn't come in my heart. About 9 months ago, it came in my heart a couple times, and about 2 months ago, it came in my heart for 2 weeks in a row, and I haven't thought about it since, but right now I'm thinking about it. So I'm going to do it. I'm not saying this as an enticement for you to get involved. I'm just letting you know. Because you're going to have a part to play in it. It'll be fun. You'll see. No, it's not a setup. It's like 100%. It's real close. I can't say 100, but it seems like it's around 100% of actual physical results when we pray what we're about to pray. It's amazing. It's like 100%. Here's what I want to do. And you won't know till after tonight, or if I don't see you tomorrow, and maybe Sunday I can see you, but we can find out. There's a lot of people that have sleep disorders, and I learned it along the way, that are taking things to help them sleep. They dread nighttime because it's a tough time for them. There's people on doctor-prescribed stuff because they can't sleep. If that's you in this room, and the other one is, I'll just do it all at once to save time, antidepressants and things to regulate and balance your emotions. Sleep disorder. Let me see. If there's people in here, sleep disorder, and you take something to help you go to sleep, or you're thinking you should because sleep is a challenge, I need you to stand to your feet and be honest. Be honest. Be humble. Stand to your feet. I'm telling you, you're going to sleep tonight. How's that? You say, Pastor, you can't tell me that. I'm telling you, you watch this. You're going to sleep tonight. It's like 100% if what I'm seeing, if you'll do your one little part that I'm going to ask you to do, and it's not works. It's not works. It'll be fun. Come on. You can't sleep at night, and you're on something. You actually take something. There's four people you didn't stand up, and you're taking some. It's actually a natural kind of thing. It's not even prescribed. It's natural. There's four people. For some reason, you didn't stand up. Come on. I need you to stand up. Who's my four? Come on. Stand up. I know when I hear numbers, I need you to stand. Did anybody see if anybody stood since I said it? I know the young man did. Do I still need one more? Did I get you, honey? Yay. Thanks. Don't make me go fishing. I'm actually a good fisherman. Don't make me go fishing. Okay, these are sleep, right? Sleep stuff. Now here's all you said I got to do something. It's not works. Watch this. How many of you actually take something to help you sleep at night? Anybody that stood up? Some of you aren't quite at that place, but some of you do. Okay. If you do, I learned this. Correct me if I'm wrong. Even if it's doctor prescribed, it won't hurt to put it aside for a night. It'll just mean that normally you wouldn't be able to sleep. But there's no repercussions from not like some stuff you don't just, I don't tell people to stop taking their medicines. But from what I understand, sleep stuff, you can usually just put it aside at night without repercussions, right? Except for normally you wouldn't sleep. I don't want you to take that thing tonight, okay? I just want you to, whatever it was, you take it, you go in a lone place, go in a bedroom, get alone, go in the bathroom, close the door, be with him. Now this is your part. You got to do this, all right? It's not works. You'll hear. You take that thing and say, you know, Lord, I could take this and it would probably help. But you know what I believe tonight? I just flat out believe you love me. And you're going to cause me to sleep tonight. So I'm just trusting you. Now look, this will put you in a place to commune with him. Not just to be prayed for to sleep. Some of us need to be put in a place to commune with him because we feel uncomfortable sometimes. We get alone, get stymied, don't know what to say. People say something's blocking me. No, he is ready for this kind of fellowship. I want you to be ready too. So you find a secret place before you go to bed. Now you slip in the bathroom. You're freshening up. You're doing whatever. Take that little thing and say, you know what? Not tonight, Lord. Nobody's in the bathroom, just you and him. You might even slip your hands up and say, man, this isn't works. This isn't me trying to get results. I believe you love me. You're for me. And I'm just going to flat out sleep. I trust you with that tonight. Thanks for loving me. Will you acknowledge his love for you tonight before you go to sleep and actually believe that he's going to empower you? If I tell you the testimonies, the last place I was at, the pastor's wife, hell and torment for 9 years, the pastor's wife dreaded nighttime, took the strongest thing the doctor could give her and still couldn't sleep. Both nights I was there, she slept like a baby, and she woke up in the morning, the second morning, and the Lord, she slept all night, and she said, oh, Lord. And he said, you know, your whole life you thought I did these things, but you thought to everybody but you. And I want you to know I love you. And she's like, she's, and she came in, and do you know the song Out of Hiding from Bethel? That Out of Hiding song is so good. She stood up and belted that song out during offering. I just cried. There was a lady in Texas, 25 years of torment and trauma concerning sleep. She was not doing good. She was crying the whole time I was talking like this in the back. We went back and I said, honey, it's been tough. She said, you have no idea. I can't. I said, tonight? I said, you're going to sleep tonight. She's just looking at me like, false prophet. Stone him. Seriously, she's like, because it was too good to be true. Because for 25 years, she faced the reality of the trauma of night after night after night. I was joking. I was just playing. I told her about, you're going to sleep tonight and this and that. This is what I was joking. And I said, I just want you to meet with him, talk to him. Will you just do that? Because you're going to sleep tonight. Now I turned and I started walking. And I was just joking when I said this. I said, in fact, girl, you're going to sleep so solid, Jesus himself might have to walk in your room and just get you up tomorrow. I was just playing. She's out cold, man. She lays down at 12 o'clock at night, talks to the Lord, crying, puts her thing on the shelf, does exactly what I'd asked. She communed with the Lord and trusted and believed he loved her. After 25 years, you start saying, where's your love? I wonder if you really love me. And you might not even say it, but you might be believing it and thinking it. She said, I believe you love me. 12 o'clock, she lays down. 8 o'clock in the morning, she's in the same position. Yeah. Let's just say her name is Sandra. She's laying there in the same position from midnight, and her shoulder goes, Sandra. And she goes, huh? Looks at the clock, 8 o'clock, nobody in the room. And I was just playing. And Jesus said, you know, that's a good idea. I think I'll just show up. He probably set his alarm and made a special trip. He came and pushed her shoulder. He said, Sandra. She went, huh? Looked for who called her. Nobody in the room. Looked at the clock. Ah! 8 o'clock. 8 hours. Boom. Same position. Jesus came and said, psst, get up. Will you let him love you tonight? Would you receive he loves you? Would you put that thing aside and just say, thank you tonight. You're going to let me sleep because you love me. It's the reason. And receive his love. Will you do it, everybody? So stretch your hands to these people. See, you're not going to sleep tonight because I'm so anointed and so gifted and flew all the way here to bless you with the gift of sleep. You're going to sleep tonight because we're going to believe his love. And we're going to receive it relationally and crawl in bed in simple faith. Fair enough? Can you all do that without works, right? So, Father, we just thank you for these people. We thank you they'll have an amazing encounter with you. We thank you that your love grows and gets even bigger and bigger and bigger in their hearts. And we thank you they'll sleep for one reason. You love them, you're for them, and you're not against them. And you will give them a peaceful, sleepful rest in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. And then you make sure you tell us about it. We'll ask. We'll ask if anybody's in the room tomorrow. Real quick, depressions and depression medicine. I need you to stand real quick. Please don't feel ashamed and please don't stay in your chair. If you're on some kind of aid for emotional stuff, just please, please get out of your chair. Come on, guys. I'm waiting on a couple more. Please. Come on. It's okay. Come on. Just a couple more. Don't think. I do. I need a couple more. You ain't going to believe this probably, but I need five. I don't know why you're still sitting. You're just holding out on me. I'm asking. I'm saying, Lord, there's more. I'm hearing the word five. So I'm stepping out in faith and believing there's five. Please stand to your feet if you're on any kind of emotion or you believe you should be. We got one? I need four more then. Come on. Thank you, honey. Please don't be ashamed. Just get up. Get it done. Come on. We're going to pray and it's going to make a difference. Thanks. Thanks. Got them. Got them. Five of you. Thank you. Come on. I know. Now watch. Here's the good news. I'm not pumped because I heard five and got it right. I'm pumped because God wouldn't pray without you standing. Come on, dude. Think about this. God didn't want me praying till you all stood up. So I guess this is going to matter. Huh. Whoa. Yeah? Right? So if he gave me a number, he saw that and didn't want to go without you. That's enough right there for just yay. Amen. Yeah. Somebody near him, just stand up, hold their hand, just stand with them real quick. Thanks, man. I actually didn't want to call. I looked right at you, buddy, and I thought, oh my goodness, I felt like I was talking to you. I'm so glad you stood up, buddy. I'm so proud of you. Bless them right now. Just sound mind, complete wholeness. See, there's nothing wrong with you. Sometimes there's a stigma attached to some of this stuff. Are you kidding me? It's just what you've been going through. It's just something. Don't think deep on that stuff. Just receive God's love tonight, and you're the one that makes my mind sound, my emotions solid. And you make everything right, God, because you, watch this, because you love me. It's what I teach all the time. Faith works through love. Faith doesn't work because you have a problem. Faith works because of love. Because you love me. Pray it over them right now, church. Father, thank you. They're going to be fine from this day forward. That their bodies will reveal. Their minds and emotions will reveal. If they're subject to doctors and liability and they've been under doctor care, even the doctor will see the change in them. God, I thank you. Their emotions won't swing. They won't rise high and low. And even if they have to wean off or continue to take meds, we just thank you that in between and whatever, it's an obvious thing that you did in them. They share that news with a physician. He says, wow, that's reduced. That's take off. That's do whatever. But I thank you in short time, it'll be obvious that things are restored. So, Father, we just thank you right now. For just a healthy, consistent function and flow. Yeah, do me a favor. Just one person, touch them real light with like one or two fingers right on the forehead. Just one person. I don't want hands all over the head. Watch this. This is awesome. Just the peace and presence of Jesus come upon you. That's right. You'll be absolutely free. You'll be absolutely in the rest of Almighty God and His love. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay. Ja. I was in a church. I tell the testimony. It was a huge church, a very huge church. It was about 60 people that stood up for that right there. 2 months later, the pastor called my home. He said, I've been waiting to call you. I was just trying to wait for results to come in because that so intrigued me how bold and strong you talked with the depression. He said, I wasn't challenging. I wasn't, but I kept getting these reports how people weren't on their meds anymore, weren't on their meds anymore. He said, I started to total up and we had some visitors and stuff. But he said, from what I can tell, everyone in our church, this was 2 months later, that stood up that day is completely off of all their meds. And what I teach, I'm not just teaching gifting, anointing, and healing. I'm teaching relational. Communion with God. Man, wonder if a Christian would get alone and actually believe God loves him and is actually for him. Wonder if nobody's looking and he has the door closed and actually says, Father, you love me and value me. You proved it through your Son. Jesus, I appreciate the shedding of your blood. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Thank you for how you fill me and flood me and make all things new. I appreciate your life inside of me. See, I'm bringing you into my bedroom right now. That's us. Not, oh God, I really need your help and I pray that people treat me right today and I'm really hoping that... Yeah. We'll do this. Oh man, I'm not even here tomorrow, am I? I'll be back here when? Sunday morning. I don't know. But I'll be here. 10? 10. Valerie's on it. 10. No, there's a way that we always pray for the sick. It's just getting so late. Let's just pray for the sick. We can still do this corporately. We'll just do this, okay? I want to, and he'll let you do what you want to do when it's scriptural, amen? So you say, well, you're not being led. Like, well, he already told me to go, ye therefore. I don't need him to tell me to go. I don't need to be led to pray for somebody. You know, sometimes we're looking for a yes, and you already got it. And if you look for a yes, you might think you have a no. It's like, I wonder if I should go encourage them. Probably. I'm not being cynical. I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just saying it's a yes and amen gospel. So if God told me to pray for the sick or lay hands on the sick or whatever city you're in, heal the sick there, I don't need a leading of the Holy Spirit in every moment. I already have it through His Word, and His Word is Spirit and life. Does God highlight a person sometimes in the crowd? Does He directly, divinely draw me to a situation? Of course. But is everybody open to love? You'll find that almost always. There's very few times that the Lord pulled me back or said no in a situation. Very rare. Because He's a seed sower. He's a waterer. He brings increase. So just letting somebody know they're valued through reaching out, touching, say, you don't need a leading. You know, Lord, should I go pray for them? You already heard the Lord say, whatever city you're in, heal the sick there and tell them the kingdom's here. So do you have a green light?
Yes.
Does everybody matter?
Yes.
So as you go, preach saying, right? Or go ye therefore. Yeah? So sickness in your body, don't think this is please just don't get tricked into thinking we're just trying to do this and smooth over the end of the service and do it because it feels churchy. I hope we have more heart than that in the room, right? So if you've been through this before and you haven't seen change, don't say, well, you know, it's last minute church thing. I'm just not going to get involved. Don't do that. It won't be without effect and results. God's going to do some sweet things in the room, okay? If you have sickness in your body, we're not going to do it the way I normally do it. It would take a while. But you have sickness in your body and you would say, Dan, tonight I need healing in an area of my body. There's something in my life less than wholeness, and I would love to be prayed for. Let me see your hands real quick. Why don't you stand up for me if you can? If you can. If you can't, let me see your hands again. Look around, people. I want somebody, just somebody, to go stand with somebody that raised their hand. Just go stand with somebody. Just be their friend. Just say, hey, I'm going to stand with you. Just stand with somebody, please. How many of you that raised your hands that stood for prayer, if you were healed, would you know it? Would you be able to tell if you were healed? Go like this. If you knew you were healed, you would know it. There's some conditions you wouldn't necessarily know. Some things time would have to tell or a test. But let me see how many people. Is there a bunch of people that would know if they're healed? We're going to do this. Are you all right if we just do this? It won't take long. You guys got time, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, it's Friday night. You guys are all right, right? Okay, good. Does everybody claim somebody? Does everybody have somebody? Is there anybody not claimed? Raise your hand if you didn't get claimed. Look, I need somebody to go claim them. Can somebody go claim? Somebody with a hand up, just go say, hey, man, split up. If you're two on one, split up and get them covered. Get the room covered. I got two guys right in the middle. Can you break out there into the aisle so somebody can get to you or something? Oh, they're coming to you, man. These guys are awesome. Yeah. Don't anybody pray yet. We're going to do this together as a family. I want to teach a couple little things quick, and faith will be everywhere, and God will move. It'll be so fun. And you guys aren't strange to all this stuff, but there's some things about healing that we got to stay sharp on. Because sometimes we get too involved. Yeah. Sometimes we try to pray hard and right. Did you know that your prayer never has and never will heal the sick? If it did, we ought to all go to prayer college and get it right. I bet you be healed in Jesus' name's enough when there's a revelation. I bet you rise and walk, see, be cleansed. Sound familiar? Not, Father God, I thank you. I'm not making fun of us. I'm just saying. We mean well. Your prayer never has, never will heal anybody. It's your faith in his love for the person, what he accomplished through his son. He's a yes and amen. Jesus Christ is a yes and amen. Read Corinthians, every promise, yes and amen through him. Amen? So here's what I want you to know tonight. That person that you claim that has something less than wholeness, Jesus paid a price for their restoration, and he absolutely loves them. He proved it by what he did on that cross. So God's for that person. Last week, there was a man in the service. He went and claimed the lady he prayed for. She was one of the last ones. And I said, I don't mind the guy on the girl thing on that one. Go get her, man. He went and stood with her, and she shared what was wrong. And she was in 24/7 chronic pain for 8 years, never without chronic. It was severe in two areas of her body. It was a condition she had. And he said he had been aggressively praying for the sick, hadn't been seeing nothing. He's getting a little discouraged, and he was trying harder. And then he was getting more discouraged. He's pushing through. And he said, whoa. And he said, I was listening to you talk. And he said, it was like, ding, 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 ding. When you said your prayer never has or will heal anybody, it's because he loves that person. He said, I thought this is too simple. He thought, I just calmed my heart down. He said, while you were talking, I kept staring over at her, glancing over, saying, wow, you love her. You're going to do this because you love her. It's not because I'm praying right. It's not because I'm laying my hands. It's not because you love her and you're going to love her through me. What an honor. He said he got so humbled by the whole thought. He just prayed for her. And for the first time in his life, he just saw God instantly heal. This lady was the first to testify. She was ecstatic because for the first time in 8 years, she couldn't find a trace of nothing wrong in her body. And it was constant pain. And if she looked for it, it would really grab her. It was completely gone. The next day, she came in. She was all celebrating, said, I'm changed. And he told me it was the first time he had ever seen anything like that. And it was the first time he ever realized it's just because of his love. Now, that makes it pretty simple, right? So if it's not your prayer, that takes the pressure off of you. Be honest. How many have prayed for the sick and you were very conscious about what you said and what you were going to say? Yeah? So we probably can throw that away tonight. Because here's the truth. I'm going to give you, and they got the clock running up there, man. Now, some places I preach, it's going the other way. It's reversed. They set it like it's 60, and then it backs up to zero. And then the guy in the front sitting there with a sign, zero, zero. Thank God I'm not in one of those. See that little secondhand clock going, 23, 24, 25. I'm going to give you guys a total of about 10 seconds, but you're really going to have about 6. Now, that's for your sake. You can't mess up in 6 seconds. You won't try to get creative, and you won't even get self-conscious. You'll run out of time. We're so wise in the Lord tonight. This is so good. Jesus wants you to see this stuff. It's in his finished work. It's simple faith. It's love for people. So at about 6 seconds, when we start praying, I'm going to, at 6 seconds, when it says six on there, I'm going to say, okay, guys, wrap it up. And I want you to, when I say wrap it up, just end with something about his love for them, because I always teach that. It's relational, it's covenant, and it just keeps our eyes in the right place. So it would look something like this. So they just said, man, I just got arthritis symptoms all through my body, and it's really in my joints, and it's aching right now. So you say, arthritis, you come out of their body in Jesus' name. Every bit of pain in Jesus' name. Father, thank you because you love them. Amen. That's all I want you to do. Something that simple. Rotator cuff, you be completely healed. Shoulder, total rotation and mobility. No more limitation, no more pain. Father, because you love them. In Jesus' name. You get it? Yeah? Bone on bone. Cartilage, you be restored. No more grinding, no more aching. And Father, I thank you. It's because you love them. Amen. Who knows we can do this? And be sincere. Amen? Amen. Now, they weren't words of knowledge. What happens is when you give them illustrations, usually somebody's out there and they go, you know. But two people last week said, while you were talking, I didn't want to interrupt, but my body changed. What's going on?
You prayed for the shoulder.
Is it already healed? See? Now, look. I'm happy. That's encouragement because Holy Spirit's going, yeah. He's excited. Watch. I know I'm preaching dead on, all right? But he's back here excited. He just moved and boom, just to show you guys, this is about to happen all through the room. Now, here's what I want you to do. Take 3 seconds, not the 6 second prayer, just 3 seconds and find out what you're praying for real quick and look right back up here. Just 3 second version. All right, you should know. You got it? You got it? We can do this quick. Does everybody know what they're praying for? Okay, now here's the deal. When I say go ahead and pray, I'm going to give you about 6 seconds. And then I'll say wind it down. I'll stop you at 10. What I want you to do when they say amen, if you're being prayed for, you just from your heart, you don't have to say it out loud. Father, thank you. You really do love me. You proved it through the cross. The cross settles it, guys. The cross settles it. You never challenge the love of God through circumstances. The cross already settles God's love. You love me. So you thank him for his love. And then I want you, the people that can check their bodies, like he went like that. He already knows it was changed. He knows. It's his shoulder, right? So you check your bodies. As soon as you know it's healed, I want to know who you are. I want you to go like this in the room. Now watch this. If you feel it's somewhat healed and you feel it got better, tell the person, man, it's 40% better. It's 70% better. I'm redeeming time. I don't usually do it this way, but it'll work this way. And then you look at them and say, man, pray for me again. Don't change your prayer. Shift up your prayer or try to get more aggressive. Don't emphasize the name of Jesus. Just say, Father, thank you for the 40%, the 70%. So appreciate what you're doing. And then pray the same 6 second prayer that you prayed the first time. You know, pain you leave, et cetera, because you love them. Jesus' name. And you'll check your body. If you don't feel any change in your body, please don't unhook and unhinge and go, oh, well, here we go. See, that's the way it always is for me. I mean, you can't tell me it's the will of God to heal. Something's got to be blocking my healing. Yeah, probably just relax. You'd be amazed what might be blocking some things around here. I'm not putting it on anybody individual, but I'm telling you, we're so quick sometimes to think and speak and slow sometimes to listen and be okay. Don't let the immediate moment define your faith, and don't unhinge and unhook. Faith is not a point in time. It's a position of your heart. Faith is what you believe. You believe he loves you. You believe he heals. You believe he's for you. You get it? So when you look around and see people testifying, here's what I want you to do if your body didn't seem to change. Wow, Father, you're the healer. You love us. You're doing a work in this room. And then go ahead and check your body while you're thanking him. Tell that person that stands with you, hey, pray one more time as they're testifying. That's amazing. God's a healer and I know he loves me. Acknowledge his love and watch what happens in this room. Like popcorn, God's going to change things in your bodies. He already did when I was talking. just got a little ahead of me. He's excited. Maybe I'm talking too much. Are you guys ready? You didn't forget what you're praying for, right? Are y'all ready? Okay, look at that person real quick. Make them a little uncomfortable. And when you look at them, just know this. Jesus loves them with his life. He really does. Are you ready? Go ahead. 10 seconds of faith and love. I'm not praying over top you. Go for it. Pray. Jesus' name. Go ahead. All right, wind it down. Because he loves them. In Jesus' name. Come on, we're at about 12, 13 seconds. Back her off. Jesus' name. Amen? Now thank him that he loves you. Before you check your body, just thank him and acknowledge that. And all through this room right now, begin to sincerely, no exaggeration. I want you to check your body. Tell me what's going on. As soon as you know something changed, let's see who you are. Check your bodies. As soon as you know you're changed. Changed already? Awesome. Changed for sure? Check your bodies. Is it changed? Yeah? Talk to me. Shout out loud. Let's find out what's going on quick. Hey, let's listen, guys. Let's find out quick what's going on and keep checking your bodies. Go ahead. So it's an obvious condition. Totally gone as soon as they prayed. Since you were 12, how old are you?
19.
This guy's 19. He had a condition in his knee from age 12. As soon as they prayed, it's completely gone. That's amazing. Now watch. Watch. As much as I love worship, did you feel how dry I made the room before we prayed? We didn't stir up nothing, right? Everybody's always into atmosphere. The atmosphere is in you. It's called the kingdom of God. We just pray. Like nobody's up here jamming, hyping anybody. Not that that's wrong to play. But sometimes we're looking for the mood. And he wants us to look for the truth. Changed as soon as they prayed. Who else? You know you changed. There's other people. Look at these people. Look at this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You know you changed. Go like this. Who changed and it's really obvious and it's pretty awesome? Like people would be like, really? Shout it out. What's going on back there? Yeah. Completely? Was it always there? Could you always find it? Yeah? Going. Who else? Talk to me. A couple people. Quick, quick, real quick. Somebody shout out. What's going on? Yeah? Okay. Right on that spot. Pray again and thank God for the percentage. Watch what happens. Who has a good testimony? You want to shout it out? Completely left? How can you tell? How would you know that's gone? I'm not challenging you. I want to understand. Yeah? Would you have a way of knowing just by inhale and breathing? Is there something different? Okay, good. Anybody else you want to share something? What's up, man? Yeah? It was hard to stand? You don't feel... Yeah? Come on. He had plantar fasciitis. You know what that is? He said he could barely stand there to receive prayer. He wanted to sit, but he stood. They prayed, and he's jumping up and down on it. It just went away. Isn't that cool? Who else wants to share testimony quick? Anybody else real quick, and then I'm going to run through the last part. What, ma'am? That'll take, you'll have to realize that as you go probably more. But the back's gone, that thing's gone, whatever it was in the body. You just feel good? Yeah? Amen. You got one? What happened? You don't feel any trace of it. What was it like before? Was it always there? Was it easy to tell? Like it was there. Oh yeah? For a long time? How many years? Many years. Like what would you say if you had to guess? 10 years. 10 years all the time noticeable. And it left. Did this young man pray? Come on, man. Jesus in you, huh? Come on. Yeah? Who here? Now look, if it changed somewhat, that's a good thing. That's easy for us to handle, right? Because we just continue to believe, thank you, Jesus, and watch it get better, right? But this is the one we don't talk about much. Is there anybody here we prayed for you and it's the same as it was? It doesn't seem like in your body anything changed when we prayed. Put your hands up high. This is one we don't talk about much. Don't be ashamed. Don't feel funny. Be honest. Let me see. Because it's no reflection on you. We haven't turned faith into a point in time. Okay? Wow, that's a handful. Let me just keep them up. Be patient. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. About 18, 19 people around there I'm counting. Keep your hands up. Is your person still nearby that prayed for you? Grab them. Grab them if you're there. And if the person left, somebody else grab them. Real quick, let's just do 10 more seconds and see what happens. Would you? Just thank God he loves you. 10 more seconds, church. It's only 10:24. Come on. Just this is important. 10 more seconds. Jesus' name. Come on. There's about 19, 20 people we're praying for. If you have to slip out, slip out. If you can stay, stay. We want to pray for him. Jesus' name, be whole. Go ahead, wrap it up. Thank God he loves you. And let's just see if anything changed in those 19, 20 people. Okay, amen? Now check your bodies for me, please. No exaggeration. Is there anybody that time out of those 19 or so people that you can tell me something changed that second time? Check it real quick. Are y'all listening? Is there anybody you changed that time? Anybody? Check it out. Something got better? Changed? Why are you getting emotional? Are you getting emotional? What's going on? Talk to me. Are you nervous? Huh? Bone on bone? What's going on in your leg? Do you feel it changing? Would it normally hurt? Does it still hurt? No? Is there ever a time that you couldn't make it not hurt, or does it always hurt? Like if you would move it though, could you make it hurt all the time? Like could you find pain if you looked for it? You can't find any right now? Was it bone on bone? Okay. Does it feel different? Yeah? Is that new? Yeah? The first time it was the same. Second time it went away. About three times. Now that's awesome. See? Faith is not a point in time. Position of your heart to receive. If you pray and check and go, oh man, I thought, why wasn't I healed? It's probably not faith, right? Faith isn't, okay, you got a tumor growing here. Father, I just thank you right now that I'm blessed coming in and going out, and anything I ask in Jesus' name shall be done. In Jesus' name, tumor, you leave. Father God, I just thank you right now. That's not faith. Okay, because after about the fourth time, now you're crying, disheartened, and you don't even know what to pray. And next thing you know, God, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, and I thought you loved me. Come on. There's a place to lock in and not change your mind. Anybody else? She changed that last time and all her pain went away. Anybody else change out of those 19 or so people? Anybody? Yeah? Somewhat? Somewhat or all the way? Better. Good. Anybody else? Okay. Yeah? Good. Out of those last people we prayed for, I'm going to stretch my hands over you guys and believe something. You got one response. When you leave here thankful. You get alone like those people with the sleep thing and all that. You get alone. Father, you love me. You're doing a work in me, and I so receive it. Thank you. You're so good to me. Thanks for making my body whole. Okay? And watch what happens in these situations. Father, I just thank you. I bless these people, and I thank you. You're doing a good thing. Wholeness in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. It's 10:30 almost. You guys are free to go. Hug somebody, love somebody, and maybe I'll see you again this week.